Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. First thing I want to do is I want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, rate 5 stars, give it a download, all that fun stuff. Just me all by my lonesome here this weekend. I think Terry's out in Kansas, I believe it is. If you follow him on Facebook, got one heck of a buck out there. So I guess that made his trip all worth it. So hopefully he's having a good time. And I'll carry on solo, and hopefully next week we'll have him back on. But we'll be going solo here for the race recap from September 20th. That was the Woodhall 100 brought to you by Joe Wilcox Performance Automatics. And I guess before I get underway, I want to touch on the elephant in the room. If anybody saw Kyle Leach's post on Facebook, I got to hot lap his Crate Sportsman after the race, and I sincerely owe all of you drivers an apology, because I get on here and I spew some stuff about some guys that could do that do a heck of a lot better job than I do, because I got in that thing and I think a snail passed me, and I could have swore that I was going about 100 miles an hour. But it was a great experience. It was a fun time. I can't thank him and his dad enough for sticking around after the races to give me the chance, the opportunity to hop into one of those things, and it was a blast. I can understand why everybody gets hooked on it. So I did want to touch on that before I get started here. But once again, I do want to thank Joe Wilcox, Performance Automatics headline sponsor this weekend, and he just did a great job. That street stock race was big money. John Stewart, want to thank him too for putting up the lat or getting all the lat money, and doing all that stuff, a few contingencies as well. So, just a couple of thank yous to a few great people that really went above and beyond for the Woodhall 100 this year. So I guess with that, we could kind of get underway here. So the Southern Tier Custom Rush Crate late models were with us too. Dustin Waters, in his first appearance in 2025, he picked up a heat race win in Brett Marlatt, the 2025 track champion. Wicked T's Quad C, they went to Wesley Hotelling and Ryan Stone. It's nice to see Ryan Stone pick up a heat race win. And I'm going to do things a little bit differently. I'm kind of going to touch on some more of the just some more cars here for the street stock. So heat race number one, Willie Easling, Damian Long, and Jimmy Grant. That was your redraw spots. Kurt Decker and Dale Risinger, they all qualified in heat race number one. Heat race number two, Glenn Reitner picked up the win starting from seventh. Starting from seventh position, he picked up the win. Luke Boom finished in second. Third was Earl Zimmer, so that was your redraw spot. Jim Buck came from ninth to finish fourth, and Gene Sharpstein finished fifth, so they all transferred into the A main. Heat number three, Chris Woodard picked up the win. Dan Gardner second. Third was Dale Hotelling, Bradley Morseman, and Joe Giardina. And in heat race number four, Mike Spencer, Brett Crawford, Mike Morse, Tracy Dunn, and Rich Conti all made the call. And 37 street stocks, just an unbelievable car count there for them. There's not enough things. That kind of goes to show exactly the kind of person that Joe is, that so many street stocks were willing to come out and help him out. And it was a lot of fun to watch. Lad Road Out of Hobby Stocks, they were the last heat races of the evening. Wayne Robertson and Brian Austin both picked up the heat races wins. Wayne Robertson's first time in a car in as long as I can remember. It's been a while since we've seen Wayne Robertson, former late model driver. He drove the Brandon Conklin car. So that was your heat races. Then we got into the B main for the street stocks. And oh, I got to find it here on my list. Where is it? There it is. The B main. Well, 15 cars started, and we only took four. That happens. These big races, it stinks. But Steve Deinhardt, he picked up the win in the B main. Teddy Morseman, actually, Steve Deinhardt was leading his heat race and broke the drive shaft in the number 73 machine and collected Teddy Morseman. So both of those two cars were actually looking poised to go into the redraw, and then Deinhardt blew the drive shaft out and collected Teddy Morseman with them. And so that was unfortunate for them, two really strong runners. Mike Williams and Andrew Rightner. Good job by Drew Rightner. He qualifying for the 100 out of 37 cars. That's a rookie in the class. Just that's a pretty amazing achievement. Brian Knowles came up one spot short. He was driving in the I believe it's the Jim Skyler machine. Mick Seeley, he finished bet. He didn't qualify. Brian Butler, who was fighting issues all year long, all night long, he didn't qualify. And I'll tell you, there was beating and banging early throughout the heats, throughout the consi. There, you put big money on the line for these street stock guys, and they came to party. It was something to watch. It was great racing all night long, and I'm sure some feelings got hurt, but that. I guess that tends to happen in big money races, but so yeah, that was your field, your 24 car field. We took five, or five out of each of the four heats, and then four out of the consi. So, and I want to touch too that Steve Deinhardt. He started 11th and finished first in the consi, and Teddy Morseman finished or started 15th and finished second. So those are a couple of guys that really were really fast. No surprise there. Deinhardt, he I think he went down to Bridgeport a few years ago for the 10,000 to win white race and finished in second. So no surprise there. And Teddy Morseman, if there's one car to follow around the to learn how to drive a street stock around Woodhull, Teddy Morseman's probably your guy. So no surprise seeing them too. Mike Williams as well and Drew Rightner. He's been consistent all year. So that was your field. Then we had an intermission. I think we had the intermission first, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Then we got into the Southern Tier Customs Rush Crate late model heat races, or feature event, where Steve LeBaron, he started on the pole, and it just seems like if you give that 29 car the pole position, it's going to be tough. Austin Allen, he finished right there with him in sec, or started right there with him in second. Just couldn't do nothing with Steve. He had a couple of restarts there to try, but he just couldn't get it done. Steve LeBaron picks up his fifth win of the year. Just like I said, he whenever he shows up and he starts at the front, he's really hard to pass. And again, it was no surprise. Maybe once he got into lap traffic, I think Austin could close the gap a little bit, but Steve LeBaron pretty much had the field covered. So like I said, Steve LeBaron, he picks up his fifth win of the season. Austin Allen finishes in second. Third was Dusty Waters. Fourth was Brett Marlatt. And fifth was Brian Knowles. Knowles pulling some double duty here this evening. Tough break for Marshall O'Brien. He had a DNF. Bill Taylor, I'm not, he's out of Arcade, but I don't know if I've seen him race with us before. Maybe this is where Terry comes in handy, a little bit older, a little bit wiser. I know Ron Watson been there when I think he came last year, for the Rush series and stuff like that. He pops up every here and there a couple times a year, so he was with us as well. So good field, 10 cars. It was one of the higher car counts of the year, a good race. But like I said, Steve LeBaron, when he's out front, he's gonna be really, really, really hard to pass. Then we had the Wicked T Quad C's. Course, they're down at the bottom. Why wouldn't they be? So Wesley Hotelling and Josh Stone, they started on the front row. Pretty much green for the first half of this race. Caution came out on lap nine as Tony Dickerson and Wesley Hotelling were battling for the lead, and unfortunately, Wesley Hotelling got caught up in a couple of lap cars. I think Brock Perry and Kevin Williams were racing for position, and Wesley Hotelling unfortunately just got caught up in that mess, and it was really unfortunate for him because he had a pretty solid run going. I'm guessing he would have finished either first, second, or third, maybe even fourth. I guess Nick Brown had to come a long way, but just a tough break there for Wesley. But Tony Dickerson, he then caution comes out on lap 18, but at that point he pretty much had the field covered. Nate Freeland did try his hardest there, but I think if I remember correctly, when Chris Woodard won the Quad C's a little bit earlier this season, he pretty much said that when the track gets like it was this past Saturday and those mini stocks can just let it rip around the high side, it's that they can compete a little bit better with the front wheel drive. So Nate had a hard time with Tony up on the top side. So Tony Dickerson comes in. He gets his second win of the season. First in that car. I think the other win that he got was in his brother Mike's car. So, he's got two wins, two different cars this year. Nate Freeland, he finished in second. Nick Brown was third. He started 12th, finished third. And Kaylee Morseman, good solid run for her, started ninth, finishing fourth. And Ray Heyer started 11th, finished fifth. So nice to have Ray Heyer with us back again. I would tell you, I don't know anything about Ray's plans. So, hopefully we can see everybody back here next weekend. I know, I think there's a little bit extra cash. I think $600 going to the winner of the Quad C. So it's a good race. Hopefully they all can come back next week. Hopefully we pick up a few more cars and have a pretty good showing there. Unfortunately for Ryan Stone, I don't know what happened to Ryan Stone, but he picked up a heat race win and then didn't start the feature. So I didn't get a chance to catch up with him. I'm just kind of looking at it now that I'm looking through the running order or the finishing order. Ryan Stone didn't start after picking up a heat race win, so that's too bad for him because that's a guy who needed some good luck. Finally picked up a heat race win and then can't make the call for the feature, so that's a little too bad. I'm just looking here. I didn't know. I guess I didn't know that Jacob Stone was in the 44M. I think I called that poor guy Danielle Morseman all night. So, Jacob, I apologize to you. Danielle, I apologize to you. I didn't know. Boy, you know what? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes I just don't look at the sheet or the sheet's wrong. And, I guess it is what it is. So, then we got to the Woodhull 100 and this race. Attrition played a big part in this. Damian Long and Mike Morse, they led the field to the green flag. And the first half of this race was tough to watch. I'm not saying I could do any better, but boy, it was caution after caution after caution. I think our race director, I don't know if it was his idea, Dan's, or whose idea it was, but I think it was a good idea where you got two double file restarts per 25 laps at the race director's discretion. And the way they were going, they didn't deserve any double file restarts in that first half of that race. And I wonder if I know Glenn said at the halfway point, I walked down there and did a little bit of interviews. He was running second for most of the first half to Chris Woodard. Chris Woodard came with a very stout piece, and he was leading for the first half of that race. And unfortunately, there was just a ton of yellows in that first half. And the second half got a lot better, much better second half of the race for these guys. But like I said, they were racing for a lot of money, a lot of what do I want to say here? A lot of lap money, a lot of contingencies and just a lot of stuff going on. And I don't blame anybody. I do the same. I would be a weapon out there, as everybody saw from that video before. So I don't mean this negatively, but there was just a lot of yellow. So in the first half of that race, second half, much better race. Second half was a much better race. Once we went back green, we had a double file restart there on lap 50. Unfortunately for Chris Woodard and luckily for Glenn Reitner, Glenn was able to get by Woodard on the restart. I kind of wonder, I don't know if Chris would ever say this, but I kind of wonder if he wants that back. Just the way it played out, Chris gave Glenn the high side on the restart. And I kind of wonder if you were to pick his brain, if he would have maybe thought, maybe I could, if I could go back and take that high side, maybe I would. But that's Monday morning quarterbacking, so and he drove a great race. And then once you get Glenn out front, he's five-time winner for a reason. He comes out and he's just dominant after that. Chris Woodard gave him everything he could. Chris Woodard was right on that back bumper, man. I think I wondered if Chris Woodard would try something a little, I want to say a little unorthodox, a little maybe even borderline dirty to try to get in front of Glenn, but he never did. He raced him clean, and it was a good race, great race by those two. Got into a little bit of lap traffic, but they were able to keep it going well too. So Glenn Reitner, though, he picks up his sixth Woodhull 100 victory. Jimmy Grant finished in second, and boy, he got him by just about a nose. He got Chris Woodard by just a nose at the line. I thought Woodard was finished in second because I had started to walk down to do the victory lane and I missed their finish. So, but from what I heard was it was by about a nose. And Chris Woodard, he came home third. That was rounding out the podium. Former track champion at the Woodhull Raceway, Brett Crawford, he finished in fourth. And Dale Risinger rounded out your top five. Mike Morse was sixth, Joe Giardina seventh, eighth was Earl Zimmer, ninth was Drew Reiner, and 10th was Mike Spencer. And you know, Mike Spencer and Mike Morse, they were a couple of Mikes running right up front most of that race, and they had to have been sick of each other. I don't know if Mike Spencer just dropped back to get away from Mike Morse or exactly what happened there, but they had to have been sick of each other by the end of that race because they beat and bang with each other the entire race and were side by side, I think battling for third and fourth and then fifth and sixth. And it was just one of those races between the two. Joe Giardina had a nice solid run from 19th to seventh. And Drew Reitner picked up the hard charger, drove from 24th to ninth. Kept his nose clean. You know, that is the name of the game. You talk to any of these drivers in the Woodhull 100, they will tell you the name of the game is keep your nose clean. Drew Reitner did just that, drove from tw last place. And actually, I think he was last place in the B main too, and had to drive up through to the B main and qualify that way. So, just a great job by Drew. I can't say enough good things. He is a young guy with a bright, bright future. I think I saw Brian Butler put on there. It's not going to be long before we're following you around just like we do your dad. So, just a great run there for Andrew Reitner. And yeah, let me see here. Let me go a little bit farther down, see what we. Tracy Dunn. It was nice to have Tracy Dunn back with us there. He drove the Jarryd Hill car, Jarryd Hill 93. If you don't know Tracy Dunn, he is one of the nicest guys that you can talk to. Dan Gardner, he finished 14th in his retirement race, I believe. I saw that he's done for the year, or done for his career. You know, he's been at it a long time. So we wish Dan all the best in his future endeavors. I know he's got a couple of sweet looking rides. I actually saw one down at the Woodhull Car Show on the and New York 305 Sprint Nationals. When I stayed the night in Woodhull, I saw his car down at the car show at Woodhull Community Days. Nice looking ride he's got there. Steve Deinhardt, he finished 18th after having to go through the consie. Luke Boom blew one up. Tough to see. Luke's a good guy, local guy. He had a tree fall in his house earlier this year. Just miserable luck in and outside the race car. And you hate to see something like that for him. He was following the what's that called? The Street Stock Series there, the Empire Street Stock Series. He was following that, and now he's out of motor. And I know they got a race coming up this weekend. I'm not exactly sure if he's going to be able to get that thing back in or not. I hope he can. I hope somebody can hear this and you want to give a power plant to Luke Boom because that's a guy that works his butt off. He deserves it. And then finishing last, Teddy Morseman, just a nightmare night for Teddy Morseman. I imagine he came in with all the confidence in the world. Probably been one of the most consistent runners at Woodhull this year. 2025 track champion, just had an absolutely amazing season. Running second in his heat race, was poised to make the redraw, and then a car blows a drive shaft in front of him, collects him in the process. Then he's got to make it through the B main, drives from the back of the B main up to the second, makes the big show, and then has just more. I think he blew out a rear end. I think Kaylee was telling me he blew out a rear end there. Just terrible luck for Teddy Morseman, and you know, he hasn't won one of these things yet, and I know that. I'd have to imagine if you ask him, he really wants to, but it just terrible luck, and it's tough to see too, especially for the year that he's had and the consistency and just how well he ran, and then to have horrible luck that, and you know what, really none of it was his fault, you know, things just kept happening around him. Like I said, in the heat race, the guy blows a drive shaft, collects him, gets a flat tire with one lap to go, races through the B main, then in the feature blows a rear end, so. Just tough break there for Teddy Morseman for his Woodhull 100. But once again, congratulations to Glenn Reitner, the king of the long distance races here for the Street Stock. Six Woodhull 100. I believe that's 4 out of the past 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that, but I do believe that is right. I do have that written down somewhere. I'm not exactly sure. I know Dan Gardner won it last year. Let me see if I can just pull this up here quick. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. So that's 4 out of the past 5 for Glenn Reitner with 1 year. Dan Gardner sprinkled in there last year. So, just utter dominance from Glenn Reitner in the Woodhull 100. All right, then we move down to the Ladd Road Auto Hobby Stocks. That was your final feature of the night. And this was a good race. This was a very, very good race. Brian Rhodes out of Newark Valley. I'm not exactly sure where he comes from, but or yeah, well, Newark Valley, duh. I don't know where he races. I'd have to imagine that he came because it was an open show. And he put on a good race. He was leading for the majority of that race. And unfortunately for him, they had a couple cautions early on. Brian Rhodes was able to hold everybody at bay. Wayne Robertson driving the Brandon Conklin car closed the distance on Brian Rhodes, and then they got into lap traffic. I don't really know. I think Brian Rhodes just got a little unlucky, and Wayne Robertson made a hell of a move. I think Brian Rhodes, if I remember correctly, Brian Rhodes took the bottom. The lap car took the high side, and Wayne Robertson just shot right through the middle. Made a great move, nice and clean, didn't touch anybody, and was able to get by Brian Rhodes and pick up the win. Like I said, that was his first win in a long, long time at Woodhull, and not the first one in that car. As like I said, he drove the Brandon Conklin car, so you know that's a stout piece. Kind of neat to see that these the open. With the open rules that our hobby stocks can compete. I don't know if I always thought that ours were very different. I'd have to guess that Brian Rhodes runs a Penn Can, so you know, maybe not that different, but I don't know. Like I said, I just talk about race cars. I don't know anything about them. So, but Wayne Robertson picked up his first win of the season. Brian Rhodes a second. Good run for Brian Austin in third. Jared Hill finished fourth, and fifth was Jason Rhodes. So, you know, good to see. Congratulations to all of them. A few people. Jesse Balance, he was driving the Kevin Wood number three, I believe. Number three. Good to see him there. He's an outlaw guy. With the open rules, like I said, you know, his rule or his car is not really made for Woodhull. A little bit farther than our hobby stocks go. Races over at Outlaw Speedway. We opened up the rules, and nice to see him come and support the race. So, Jesse, Kevin, if you listen to this, thanks for coming. Appreciate you guys making the trip, and I hope you had a lot of fun. Trevor Mochel got his first start behind the wheel of the 95. That's out of the Birdsall camp. I don't know. They're gonna have to start building some to put all of his race cars in that, or just buy a cornfield with all the cars that he's getting. Then Mike Morse didn't start. I believe Mike Morse was looking to pull triple duty, and I think after the street stocks, he said, "Well, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. It would have to be my guess, because 100 laps is quite a bit. You know, that's a long day. So, but yeah, I guess that was the race. It's only four classes, but 100 laps of the Woodhull 100, and that race went about an hour. So, definitely got your fill of racing for the night." Once again, I do want to thank Joe Wilcox Performance Automatic, as they were the night presenting sponsor. They like I said, you know, he did a great job. Everything that Joe did, all the money that he raised, every street stock driver, I hope they all stopped and thanked Joe Wilcox because of just everything that he put on for them guys and the money that he raised and what he did to make that show even bigger than what it is. And hopefully they continue to do that next year. And you know what? Maybe this thing could just grow even bigger than what it is. And that'd be really cool. So once again, we want to give a shout out to him. And now we can look forward to next weekend at the Woodhull Raceway. Last hard to believe. Hard to believe we only got 1 week left of racing at Woodhull. It went by way too fast, way, way, way too fast. So, next weekend at the Woodhull Raceway. This is going to be brought to you by Joe Trappler, JT Logging, Trappler Trucking, and CS Tree Service. $2,500 on the line for the Hometown Excavation Crate Sportsman. That's some pretty good money for the sportsman guys. 600 cc modifieds back in the house. Wicked T Quad C's. They're 600 to win, so a little bit extra cash for the Quad C's. And then the IMCA modifieds, the NY Penn IMCA Modified Series, and that is your fifth and final points night for the Woodhull IMCA class as well. Going into that race, Jacob Ingham has the top spot, and if you like the driver interviews, Jacob Ingham going to be my guest on Thursday night. I pushed everything back in case anybody wants a little behind the scenes. I had a surgery in the family, so I've been up. Everybody's all right, but I've been up at the hospital up in Rochester for about the past day and a half. So just had to deal with that, and that's why everything's going to be a little delayed a little bit. So Jacob Ingham going to be my guest on Thursday night. He's sitting at the top of the points. I'm going to ask him about this guy. I'm going to ask him what he's going to have to do to beat the 98K of Keith Lanfear. Lanfear's got two feature wins, coming in 5 points back. Now, Keith Lanfear's a guy that had just a miserable trip out last time. Broke something, I believe, and just, it's tough. And only 1 point between finishing positions. So if you finish, I don't know the number, but say you finish first, you get 30. You finish second, you get 29. So it's only 1 point. So looking at this, Keith Lanfear's pretty much got to win and have Jacob Ingham finish sixth. And that would get him about there. I don't think they do heat points. I should have asked Jake Maynard. I'll have to ask Jake. Maybe he'll hear this and reach out to me. But I don't think they get heat race points. Actually, I bet you I can go find out real quick right now. No, they don't. Okay. I'm guessing it's 40 points for the feature, no heat race points. Wow, just consistency out of Jacob Ingham, four top fives. That's gotta make you happy. That's how you win a points championship when somebody's got two races, one out of five. Second place finish, fourth place finish, and a third place finish. So, like I said, that's how you do it. If Keith Lanfear is going to pick up this track championship, he's really got to start working together or working to get to the front. And hopefully, he's got to hope Jacob Ingham has a tough night. And I'm guessing by the two of them, I don't really think he's probably hoping that. I think they get along pretty well. I think they work out of the same shop even. So, kind of cool them two going 1-2 in points. And then Jacob McConnell, he's not out of this thing either. 7 points back, sitting there in third. Tyler Belcher is fourth, 12 points back, and fifth is Jay McConnell, 15 points back. So, and I'm guessing with the NY Penn Series race, it's going to be, gosh, I think it's a series race. I am almost positive. I hope I'm not wrong on that. I'm almost positive, but I hope I'm not wrong. You think you're going to get some more cars? I know Rodney Morgan, he won the feature last time the series was in town, and he doesn't run the Woodhull points, but he runs the series, and that's something that could shake up a lot of things. Like I said, Keith Lanfear had a pretty tough weekend when they were here last time, so you never know. Anything could happen. If they get 20 cars, it's not impossible to see Keith Lanfear pick up the win. He could definitely do it, and then Jacob McConnell finish sixth or seventh, or even Jacob Ingham, or even Jacob McConnell. You just never know. Jacob Ingham has a bad night, and it could really shake things up. So, you never know. That'll be a lot of fun to watch throughout the night. And also the 600 CCs. I love those little 600 CCs. They're one of my favorite classes. Open motor, open show, open tire. We're gonna check ECUs. Just same rules we ran at the end of last year. We are opening it back up to Yamaha. So. Hopefully that's not an issue for anybody. If case you think it is, last year at the end of the year, Aiden Miller had a Suzuki and he passed several Yamahas when he came from 14th to win. So, a little bit of history there to prove, So yeah, once again, that's all going to be brought to you by CS Tree Service and Trappler, JT Logging, Trappler Trucking, Joe Trappler. And I think that's about all I got. Like I said, flying solo here this weekend. Hopefully Terry's back with me. He should be back with me next weekend. Congratulations on your big buck, Terry. No, I'm glad it was all worth it for you skipping out on us on a weekend. But we hope you had a lot of fun. I do want to remind everybody before I get out of here, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcast, Spotify, however you listen to your podcast. Download it, give it 5 stars, all that fun stuff. And I guess until Thursday night, I hope you all have a good rest of your week.